All right, time to talk some footy with Rodney E. The Rocket is back with us on a Tuesday morning as always. Always a good chat with the man who's been there and done that. Rodney, good morning to you.
Morning, Daniel. How are you, buddy?
I'm well. I'm very, very well. Thank you very much. How's your world? Are you busy? What's going on?
Busy just being inside four walls.
You sound pretty happy about that, Rocket.
It's a bit like that, isn't it? Not too bad. Still got a bit of stuff to do, but looking forward to getting out into society and the normal world, hopefully by tomorrow morning. So, fingers crossed, Daniel.
Don't get too excited. What we can do.
Always optimistic.
That's right.
That's not a bad thing. Not a bad place to start.
That's my problem. I'm always a glass half full and usually get disappointed.
Mm. Yeah, that's a problem, isn't it? So, I think you become actually conditioned to it. So, then you're just the normal average path of life. But anyway, you stay optimistic.
Being realistic and optimistic is important, Adam.
Yes. Can I jump in here?
Jump in.
I want to ask Rocket a question. The Carlton thing fascinates me, Rocket, because they're doing...
Yeah, I know. You were on that last week.
But they're doing their review. Now, I know what they're doing in their review is very different to what media commentators are talking about Carlton from outside the footy club. So I think that's really important.
Yep.
Because it's interesting that I feel that based off the performance against North Melbourne, the commentary's changed from David Teague being safe to David Teague in the gun on the basis of one performance. In fact, even one quarter, as Half was saying. So when you're part of a review, how important is it to not actually think about the results and more about the process? Or is results actually important in a review? Does that make sense? It's a long question, sorry.
I think the reviewers have got to take it, be unemotional, which they're not attached to the club. So... and either a patch of good form or a really bad game doesn't affect what you come out with, the information that you've gathered. So I would think that the reviewers aren't saying this person should go or this person should go. It's about, well, this is an area of concern for A, B, C and D, whether it's fitness, whether it's recruiting, whether it's game plan, whatever the case may be. And actually disseminate the facts and put them across. Then it's up to the club to make the decision of which way they want to go, or do they need to make a change, or do they need extra support, or whatever the case may be. That's separate to what clubs will do depending on results. So I think there's still another layer to the review. There's the review, as I've just said, with the results and the way they're going. That's going to be a club decision, and that can even be based on what members say and memberships and all that sort of thing. Now that's the way the boards react as well. So I think there's two layers to it. And I think they're not mutually exclusive, to be honest. I think there'll be the reviewers and they'll come up with their findings, and it's how the club interpret that and what they want to act on that. They can act on nothing on that if they want to. Then there'll be the results or the way they go about it, or I think the biggest problem David's got is the pattern of defensive actions or lack of defensive actions, and that's a real pattern. So there've got to be some really strong questions asked about that. Is it coaching? Is it players not buying into it? Is it apathy? Is it whatever the case may be? So that may be part of the review, but that'll be really Luke Sayers and his board on the back of what they think is the right way to go ahead.
On that, Rocket, how quickly can you change a system that's been ingrained over 2 years or so now?
Say, a couple of years
for David Teague and the coaching staff there at the Blues. He's very much an offensive minded coach, and he's been open with that. He wants positive ball movement, and that's what he wanted to bring to the Blues. And he's done that to a degree. But as you say, on the flip side of that, when you haven't got the ball, there's got to be another layer to it. When you've been so honed in on one area, and you realise and identify really, really quickly and publicly that an element of your game is lacking, how quickly can you change that that's been ingrained for 2 years?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of thoughts on that. And it's interesting where the so-called experts say, Richmond, because they had the best system, that's why they're winning. You've still got to have some talent to implement a system. Now, players drop out, as we're seeing now with Richmond. The other thing with system and defensive system, and you can have the best system in the world, if you don't get effort and you don't put heat on the ball, it doesn't matter what system you've got. Mm. And to me, that's the nature of what's happening with Carlton. Sometimes their North just went straight through the middle with no intensity or pressure from the opposition. They weren't closing space. And you've got to put heat on the ball carrier, because that allows you the Liam Jones or the intercept markers to come into play because they can roll off their man because the ball's just getting hacked forward. Well, there was no chance of doing that because there was no pressure on the ball carrier, which to me is effort. That's not a system. That's just effort and intensity. Coaching, this is a non-negotiable. This is the way we go about it. This is our key pillar to the way we defend. And there's none of that. And that's been the pattern, that lack of effort and the lack of urgency and intensity. So to answer your question, you can change that by strong demands, and this is the way we're going about it. This is what we do. You'll be selected on that. You'd want to be playing exceptionally well if you don't want to buy into this. And I don't think, I certainly don't know, but it doesn't seem to be challenging enough for a lot of people who are consistently not buying into that effort part of the game.
Yep. Okay. That's fair. That is fair. And we'll move on from the Blues because they've got plenty of coverage. I want to talk about the Demons. We spoke to Max Gawn early this morning, Rocket. They've won 2.5 out of the last 6. They were on top of the ladder, being the best team in footy all year to this point. No longer have that mantle. Are you worried? Are you seeing anything that is making them susceptible come a finals campaign that teams are exploiting?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. Obviously, the Bulldogs allowed that they had the extra at the stoppage. Melbourne allowed that because they want to have intercept with Lever and May. Teams have woken up to that, so there's different ways. Now, you had a look at the Hawthorn game. They hacked the ball forward on purpose, kept it low, even bounced the ball inside forward 50. They either passed it or they tried not to bomb at all. Even when they were clear, they were really making them, which is a chaos ball, which doesn't suit the Melbourne defender. So they need to tweak it a bit. There's still a fair bit to like about the Demons. They're still creating scoring opportunities. They're still moving the ball quite well. They're back in their, we go back to the system, they're back in their defensive system, which teams are changing their mode of attack to counter their defensive system. So I think they just need some tweaks. I think we mentioned a few weeks ago, you asked a question, I think it might be you, Adam, about teams. Is it a blip on the radar or do we need to forensically investigate why we lose or what's going on? You cannot ignore anything. If you ignore something, say 6 weeks ago when they lost their first game, you're saying 2.5 out of the last 6 weeks, if you just park it, teams will actually investigate that more. So, and I think that's what's happened. So I think they need to investigate. I don't think it's an overhaul. I think it's just a slight tweak here and there. They're creating opportunities. Their midfield's still very strong. I wouldn't be worried, but by the same token, I would need to look at things and do we need to modify or have plan B when things like the Bulldogs, what they did with the stoppage, do we need to go up with them and leave a bit more space in our defence? But what I saw the other night, the Bulldogs were the better side, but they got back within a goal with 10 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And with Bontempelli, so it wouldn't surprise me in a final that result can be flipped. So, but I'm not worried, but I would need to maybe keep some things in the back pocket.
Whitey and I were talking yesterday. This is a question without notice, Rocket. Most of them are because we don't talk to you beforehand. in fairness. And we were talking about...
What's the difference?
I don't know why I say that, but I did. We were talking yesterday about our coaches of the year, who we would nominate as in the category for coaches of the year. Matty Nix came up for the job he's doing. David Noble got some love. Who else do we have? Ben Rutten as well, John Longmire, Simon Goodwin. Who do you think has, in terms of expectations pre-season and now what we're seeing so far, would fall into the Coach of the Year category?
Oh, I think John Longmire for me. Nobody expected them to be in the eight. Young squad, and really the way they're playing, and have had Lance out for portions of this season as well to be pushing for the top four, and people are now talking them about chance for the flag, which I don't think is realistic. I think they're still another season away. I think they're still too young, to be in that conversation, I think they've done an outstanding job, and I think John's done an outstanding job as well.
I still marvel.
He's number one.
No, I think we sort of settled on that.
We settled on John, I think. Yeah,
we did talk about others.
Good outcome.
But I think, Rocket, the thing that I still marvel with Sydney is those senior players. Like Josh Kennedy and Luke Parker are the two that stand out
Parker,
to me.
Yep.
Just their ability to still play at such a high level, which creates demands on the younger players and by just setting such a high example. It's such a luxury, and it sort of stood out to me that when you look at, say, Fremantle and Essendon as maybe the next generation of teams coming through, I reckon Sydney, Freo and Essendon are kind of in the same bracket from where they were, that it's Sydney's leaders that find a way to set the example that perhaps Freo and Essendon don't have, at least at this stage, that's where the difference might be in the three teams?
Yeah, for sure. There's no doubt about that. And I think it was on evidence in the weekend with Sydney and Fremantle. Fremantle started okay, and then when it got really hard in that third quarter when Sydney got a run on, there was nothing as a fight back for Fremantle that actually able to stem the flow, and nobody controlled that. David Mundy's obviously leader, Fife, was off, but it really needed something from a two or three to be able to stand up to. He would just stop momentum to stem that flow. And you saw that with Fremantle against Geelong the other week as well, where they just the floodgates were open. It just stayed open.
And the flip side of that, I was going to say, the flip side of that in that particular game was that when Fremantle started well, it was Kennedy and Parker that actually started to push it back Sydney's way, and the others came with them. And, Fife off, Mundy a bit quiet, but it was Brayshaw and Chera that were trying to get them going. They just didn't have that seniority, that's what Sydney have got, and they can bank on them every week.
Yeah, I think Rampy as well down back. So they've got some... Hickey's been a really good player. He's playing his best footy at 31 years of age. So they've got a core of senior experienced players, A, who are playing well, but B, who know what to do at the right time when things aren't going well, and probably keep the others heads up.
If that's play the right way.
I think, and I think Essendon, not being harsh on them at all, but it's just they're young. I think whether they're older senior players, they're more experienced players at 25, 26. They haven't got, except for Hooker, they probably haven't got another player who's 28 plus to be able to do the right thing. Stringer's not a leader. He's a dynamic player, but he should grow into being a leader. And I think that's what they need. But they've still got plenty of time. They're quite a young side.
Still plenty of time for us to talk about the year, Rocket. Next couple of weeks building up to a big finals campaign. Appreciate it as always on a Tuesday. Have a great day.
See you, boys. Have a good week and a good day. Hope we're back to normal tomorrow.
That'd be nice. Rodney Eade with us, Coach's Corner. He's optimistic about the world, and we think that's magnificent.
I don't know about that.
We'll get to a break. He's optimistic. Let's stay with it. Charlie Robottom to join us after this.